everyone, and welcome to the September.
Welcome.
WHM mailbags. WHM season 7. What are you, Rain Man over there? What the fuck are you doing? I'm Andrew Jubin alongside Stephen Zadak and Rain Man himself, Eric Siska.
I'm practicing gambling in the corner.
Dude, that match thing just freaked me out.
I just dropped
all these matches. Eric, just guess how many?
Yeah.
533. Now, this is, of course, the WHM mailbag where we read some fan letters, handle some questions, tell some stories and whatnot. Now, you will notice that this is still indeed on the main feed. This is still free, of course. Now, you might be asking yourself, well, where the hell did Animation Damnation go? Well, we got a Patreon set up, gang.
Clinton took it.
Oh, no.
Man.
Crooked Hillary.
No.
Goblin vomit. Catch him in bed with a mailbag.
Infopickles.com.
No, we got ourselves a Patreon, man. We've been doing the show 6 years. We wanted to step it up a little bit. And I got to say, first of all, the support for this fucking thing has been outrageous.
My heart has exploded. It's grown one size.
We cannot even believe it. The support already for this thing that launched just mere weeks ago.
Yeah, thank you so much, everyone out there.
So here's the deal, gang. If you are interested in getting involved, head on over to patreon.com/wehatemovies. You can check out all the tiers, the different ways you can subscribe, support the show, support what we do here at We Hate Movies. Help us produce more content for you. Help us go out on the road more to see you in your hometown.
And you know, a lot of people have been like, oh my God, I can't afford to do this. Then please don't. I would hate for someone that cannot afford
to feed your fucking kids. Keep the lights on. Jesus Christ. Our fart jokes can wait.
It is not mandatory at all. No. That is a good point. We're not expecting everyone who listens to sign up. I mean, we're still going to be putting out, you know, the regular show as much as possible.
WHM Prime.
Mailbags.
Exactly.
And we appreciate the hell out of the people that can do it, and we appreciate the hell out of the people that can't do it.
Yeah, we ain't twisting your arm here, gang. Like I said, feed your fucking kids. Feed yourself. Put gas in the car, my God.
Yeah, seriously. Podcasts come not even second, third, maybe.
As it turns out, there's a fucking free one that comes out every week. So
and I'm
you're
just
good.
I am going to say above your elderly aging parent. Like, you know what I mean? Oh, Definitely below your kid.
Exactly. They had their shot.
Yeah. Look at them now. So just like, you know, use that as a lesson.
You think they gave you every $8 they had in their pocket?
No, I don't think so at all.
No way.
So anyway, patreon.com/wehatemovies. Now let's get to the letter reading. Steve Zadak, do you want to start us off?
Oh, absolutely. With the first mailbag of the season. So there should be a little bit of fanfare here. Breaking Point. Letter is called Breaking Point. Hey, gang. Glad you exist.
Oh, me too.
What if we don't?
You're all connoisseurs of terrible movies, but there are obviously some that are so bad that you truly can't stand them. My question is, what was the first movie to be too bad to enjoy? What finally broke you and you just couldn't be enjoyed no matter how hard you tried? For example, my friend can tolerate some real garbage, quoting the Mortal Kombat movies as some of his all-time favorite movies.
All right.
But he finally met his match with Uwe Boll's Blood Rain.
Oh, sure.
Saying it made him vomit blood.
Goblin vomit blood.
To watch it all the way through. What was your guys' first experience with something so terrible? Signed, Spencer.
I'll tell you right now. Oh, I'm sorry. I cut you off.
Because it is like when you're a kid, you just assume every movie's good.
Like, you consume it like a fucking moron.
This is a good movie. It's got to be a good movie.
It's a movie of some kind.
Somebody made all this movie for me. I got to watch it. I got to like it.
It took me a long time. And I'm not saying this was the first time, but this is not the first time I realized what a bad movie was. I don't think what he's asking here. Mm-hmm. And I feel this sort of can correlate to like either stopping a VHS tape, throwing a DVD out the window, or leaving a theater. And leaving a theater, for me, the nadir of me watching a movie in the theater and just saying no was Don't Mess with the Zohan. I walked right the fuck out of that movie.
Oh, that's a good one.
Right about the time he was just hitting people with feet, I was fucking done with it. I mean, that was just one of the stupidest movies. And I mean, I've sat through some stupid movies, man.
I still haven't seen it, and I'm still happy.
Yeah, you're good.
One of those movies that I was sort of like building up, and I was like, oh, well, you know, I like The Game, mistake number one.
And I
was like, oh, this, it's such, the video game. And I was like, oh, you know, it's actually, it would be better as a movie, mistake number two. because it's like atmospheric and it'll be kind of cool to see it in a movie. And then I went and saw Resident Evil.
Oh, that's a big fucking turd.
That is one of the worst.
Can you believe there's like five of those things?
There's still one more coming out. Or it just came out maybe.
They're still
They just finally said goodbye. There
was, I think
they finally said goodbye.
They did. Like the final season of MASH.
They're waving as the helicopters leave Korea.
Mila Jovovich took a bow, and that big reptile monster, whatever the fuck goes on in that movie.
I think there was a thing, and I might be mixing up movies here, but I think a stunt woman was like gravely injured on that film. And it was been like kind of delayed and whatnot. But I think I just saw something that was like a fucking photo of Mila Jovovich and this fucking things, and I'm just like, how many? How many? Like, you're going for a full-on box set with
these
movies.
It's crazy.
Man.
I mean, it's
unbelievable.
Nuts. Mine would be, like Eric, was super excited about this movie, and I was like, it's got to be good. It's just got to be good. And it was because I really liked the first Mortal Kombat, and I was there with some buddies, and I was like, it was Mortal Kombat Annihilation, and I just and I was trying to get into it. You know what I mean?
That is actually a movie I walked out of.
I was so close. I was just like my fat little cheeks were getting hot, ready to cry with how how bad this movie was, man.
By the way, if you're a new listener, we did a previous episode on that film.
We did indeed.
We've done episodes on both Mortal Kombat movies.
That's right.
All right, Eric Siska, you want to continue on here?
Oh, sure. This one's called Senioritis.
Hey.
Dear WHM, huge fan of the show, first off. Your podcast makes me laugh, but it also makes me reevaluate movies that I may have initially ignored. Thanks to you, Blind Fury is now one of my favorite movies ever, as it should be.
Classic movie.
I still haven't seen that movie.
Oh, you weren't on the episode.
I wasn't on the episode, and I said, fuck those guys.
One of them rare Chris Cabin episodes.
Oh, legend has it. He had a couple episodes. You should check it out, though, because if you like Rocket Horror.
Of course I do. I got red blood in my veins, or what?
Dude, you like henchmen getting their fucking ass handed to them?
Yes.
Yeah, well, Blind Fury is the movie for you.
You got to check it out, Steve. I expect a full report in the morning. With you guys taking your summer break, you talked a lot about the dreaded senioritis. Well, I've got a tale from my high school years you may appreciate.
Uh-oh.
It was the late 2000s.
Oh, late 2000s in high school. I'll be over here committing suicide.
And now Andrew is dead.
You see that old man killed himself?
He's almost 33.
You're not missing anything if you check out at 33, everyone.
That's what Jesus thought.
And then he came back and he instantly bounced.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, no.
Yeah, no, that was actually the quote in my high school yearbook. You're not missing anything, Jesus.
You want to know what my actual high school quote
was?
Oh,
yeah.
It was... Because I was an asshole, and I just didn't care. And I mean, it's not that funny, but it is kind of, if you look at my bad haircut and tuxedo jacket that they make you wear in the picture, here I am, rock you like a hurricane.
Oh, you fucking asshole.
That Absolutely. Is pretty great.
Bravo.
That kid's got moxie. So getting back to
this letter here.
And I was just a few days away from graduating high school. Nobody could give a shit at that point.
As was the fashion all the time.
Be it the students or the teachers, we watched movies in almost every class, usually something tangentially related to the class, like watching Glory in History or Drumline in Marching Band.
Come on. Hitting the fucking drum on the head with that one.
I mean, like, it's great. That's why Glory was invented, really. Like, yeah, it's a movie, but, like, history classes will enjoy this.
I definitely saw that in history class.
Bravo.
Of course you did.
Also, one of my history teachers showed us an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, sick.
Which was the first time I ever saw that.
You remember which episode?
They go down to some arid planet that looks like Southern California.
57 of them.
It was one the guy said was good. We'll get to it on WHM's Nexus.
Oh, right.
On Patreon.
There you go. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. Continue. So,
except for Earth Science class. Now, first off, this was definitely a class for seniors who didn't give a shit. It was basic material taught by a self-professed former flower child.
All right. Actually, my earth science teacher was the same way.
Cool.
He also went on to be my environmental science teacher. And you know what? He played guitar.
Oh, man.
Legitimately cool dude.
Sounds like he's in tune with the earth.
Oh, yeah, man.
This is for people who wanted a class you could just sleep through and still pass. But it was still awesome. And the teacher, Mr. V, was really nice, albeit a bit odd. One time he told us he was camping and saw a bunch of trees producing fog.
Sick, Mr. V. Hey, Mr. V, sick story, bro.
This is not
science. Can you
science.
Tell it again, Mr. V?
Oh, man, do you smell Mr. V's jacket this morning?
Oh, yeah.
When a kid asked him if he had been drinking that night, Mr. V said, not drinking, but smoking some funny stuff. Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah, well, Mr.
Come
V.
Come on, Mr. V. Fuck. Mr. V is looking for the next job already.
Well, dude, he's playing in a band on Saturdays at fucking Maxine's Roadhouse down the street.
It's going to take off just any day now.
Any day now, his fucking Foreigner cover band is going to blow up.
You could just call me Mr. V. It's short for Mr. Adventure.
So, Mr. V decides to let us watch a movie none of us had ever heard of, an Austrian movie called Funny Games.
Hachi machi, Mr. V. I would like to think that Mr. V was a little more cultured and knew what was going on here.
Yeah, Mr. V is pretty cool, man.
Well, I would like to think that Mr. V knows the score, but it appears as if Mr. V's never seen this movie before.
If you're unaware, this movie is about two guys who torture and murder a family of three.
Yep.
It was intended as a criticism of violence and how we react to it, which is all well and good, but probably not the movie you want to watch with a bunch of barely mentally there teens.
You know what?
Disagree.
Michael Haneke, not one for high school classes.
One question.
What? No, everyone should watch. Now, if you're listening in high school, immediately rent this and The White Ribbon.
Yeah, The White Ribbon. Yes. You'll and a more. It'll fucking sad you right out.
Right. That's
there should be a class called fucking What It's Really Like. And then you just watch them. Like it's just taught by Mr. Sadak, man. And he shows
dude.
You how Sally Mae's going to fuck your face for the next 30 years.
Oh, totally.
And then you watch a more. And then like you talk about like how you're going to watch Relatives go.
You know what? That's better than a study hall.
Dude, it's like, this is what it's like dealing with your neighbors, and you put on cachet. Oh, yeah, dude. I like this already.
What it's like. I'm gonna pitch that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Requiem for a Dream.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go.
So there's a very early scene where the father has his leg broken, and it was at this point you could tell the mood in the classroom changed. We were all watching this movie with a mix of shock and horror. And it took 3 days to finish.
Dude, you kept going back to it. Like, if the first day is a little weird, yeah. Mr. V, go home and watch it.
Yep. And maybe, finish it.
You know, maybe Glory is fine.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Well, get a VHS tape out, and why don't you fucking tape some Saturday Night Live reruns off of Comedy Central?
It's Earth Science put on like fucking, even Jurassic Park, which is very tangentially Earth Science, but at least there's like, you know.
Listen, Earth Science. It's all the natural disaster movies. There's a goddamn library full of
volcano. You put Volcano on.
The Core.
Dante's Peak. The Core. Maybe The Core is like a last ditch if the video store is out of the rest.
No, that's what gets you fired. You could show Funny Games, but if you show The Core and Earth Science, get the fuck out of here, Mr. V.
You fucking hippie. You're fucking fired. Yeah, continue.
We'd all leave the classroom in absolute silence, never discussing the movie until the end. The fourth wall breaking, the extreme violence. It was too much for us to handle. We were expecting something like Shrek 2, for God's sake. Shrek 2!
Shrek 2 with senioritis, by the way. You're all 17 or 18 years old. Let's grow the fuck up.
Yeah.
Just grow right up.
You know what? Maybe you needed fucking this fucking movie. Funny games.
That Funny Games straighten you out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Shrek 2.
No, sorry. You're in the What It's Like classroom. And in the What It's Like classroom, everyone's susceptible to the violence that their neighbor can inflict on them.
That's right.
Dude, when I saw Shrek 1, when it was new, I was fucking livid watching that movie. I was I've never been so angry at a movie before Shrek.
That was the first DVD I ever watched.
Oh, man.
I rented. I got... I remember it very clearly. I got a pair of yellow sunglasses and a DVD player for Christmas one year, whatever that year is, probably like 2001. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh man, gotta go to the video store and rent my first DVD. Yellow sunglasses. And I listened to whatever shitty CD I put in my Discman.
Love it.
I was like, I'm going
to
rent
Shrek. Did you strut to the Blockbuster?
Oh, of course I did. I was king shit that day. Oh. I was renting a movie on a disc, Andrew. How could life get any better?
It's the future, man.
Can I tell you what my first DVD was? This is no fooling.
I wish I had those yellow sunglasses.
John Carpenter's Halloween.
Ooh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's right.
What my first DVD was? I'm talking about owning.
Yeah.
It was Army of Darkness.
Nice.
But it was the director's cut, and I was so pissed off because the theatrical's better.
Yeah. Did you throw it out?
Or
why didn't you just flip the disc? Wasn't the theatrical?
No.
The oh.
No. Anyway.
Let's finish Mr. V abusing these children.
But to quickly tell you what made me hate Shrek so much was the Macarena joke so many years after that.
Yes. Big time.
God, it, honestly, and that fucking song and dance, fuck those movies.
It's the beginning of the end of computer animation. I mean, like, there's been a lot of good computer animated movies since then, but not a lot more bad ones.
Nope. At the end, Mr. V asked us what we thought.
Mr. V.
For a long time, nobody raised their hand, so Mr. V stood up from his desk.
Oh, shit.
Guys, I'm really sorry.
Oh, man.
I thought it was a comedy.
Mr. V, what a bungle.
But after the first day, I really liked it, and I didn't want to stop watching.
Again, watching at home.
How busy are you, Mr. V? I know Barry's got practice every night in his garage, but...
And I didn't have a tape player at home.
Oh.
I hope you enjoyed it, too.
Wait a second, Mr. V, if I'm getting the timeline right here. The beginning of this email, we were told that this was the late 2000s. You don't have a, quote, tape player at home. Wake up, Mr. V.
Maybe he had DVD.
That's entirely possible.
DVD.
Now, limited edition yellow sunglasses with your DVD.
Army of Darkness, director's cut.
No theatrical. Buy that separately, you fat piece of shit. That was it. 2 days later, we graduated. It was basically the perfect send-off for this teacher. And I hope he plays that movie for every class of graduating kids. Guarantee you he doesn't.
No, that was the last time Mr. V made that fucking flub. Oh, Lord Almighty, mm-hmm. Mr. V. All right, here we go.
Mr. V did not stand for Mr. VCR player, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
DVD.
Wrong movie story with bonus conspiracy theories. Okay. Hi, guys. First, thanks for making one of my favorite podcasts ever and never failing to make me crack up inappropriately at work. I was just listening to your latest mailbag where we heard of the Joel Schumacher run-in. That's Steve trying to see Spotlight. They put on the wrong film.
Well, they sure did.
What were you trying to see? And they put on Spotlight?
I was trying to see Spectre.
Oh, Spectre. And they put on Spotlight.
The next one alphabetically down.
Speaking of flubs. Joel Schumacher run-in and had to share my own story of movie mix-ups at the theater. Last year, my best friend and I got ourselves tickets to a special showing of Rear Window in Chicago.
Nice.
Wonder if that was at the Music Box Theater. Great organization out there, if that's what you're talking about. Well, the theater was in Evanston. Oh, never mind. but we can be forgiven for the sake of seeing Hitchcock movies on a big screen. I don't know why you're knocking Evanston, but whatever.
Evanston!
We're from New York City. I don't know what that means, but we'll continue. And we're very excited to see it in the theater. We got in the theater, which was slightly more packed than expected, mostly with older couples. There were no previews, but of course, that was to be expected with a revival showing of an old movie. All right, let's just come on.
How was the seat? No, I'm kidding. I love you, dear writer.
Here we go.
A
Proustian adventure here.
However, what came on the screen looked more like someone's corporate educational video with some dude in a turtleneck, if I remember correctly, talking to us about strange natural phenomenon and God.
What?
And how the moon has been used to predict disasters and strife for centuries or some shit.
Was this, I was about to say Nosferatu, but that's wrong.
Nostradamus.
Yes. It's the same guy, right?
Was it a vampire from a 1922 silent film talking to you? My friend and I looked at each other in confusion, but thought maybe this was some kind of special preview the theater had inserted, like those Fathom event ads. However, after a couple minutes, it became clear this wasn't the case. The theater had somehow gotten their film reel of Rear Window mixed up with a DVD. We know because when they finally stopped it, we were treated to 10 minutes of various DVD menus while they tried to fix it. Let me tell you, as someone who's professionally worked in film exhibition for 16 years, that's fucking embarrassing as all get out, Jesus Christ, theater. Wait, in Gross Evanston.
Do you think they were playing Rear Window on a DVD?
They must have. That's embarrassing.
They were like, oh, is that film canister or that little disc? Oh.
Right? They just missed up the little discs.
Am I threading film through a projector or am I putting a DVD into a tray? What a flub.
I mean, people drove from Chicago all the way to little old Evanston to be treated to a fucking DVD.
I once left a screen. I was living upstate. It was in downtown Albany. I was going to a screening of Evil Dead. Mm-hmm. I walked in. I said, is this on 35mm? The guy said yes. Walked into the theater. Saw the DVD menu pop up because the projectionist fucked it up. I turned around and left. I got my fucking money back. I walked right out. I was like, you fucking lied to my face, sir.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's 35.
It's the original one. It's the first one they ever made.
I think, you know, they made it on DVD first. But, like, DVD blown up is going to look like shit.
Yeah, no, that's why I walked right the fuck out of that movie theater. Anyway, so mixed up with a DVD of Four Blood Moons, described thusly on IMDb, quote, just as in biblical times, perhaps God is controlling the sun, the moon, and the stars to send our generation a signal that something big is about to happen, end quote. Several people went to tell the theater what was going on, but we still ended up sitting through 12 minutes of this, quote, documentary, and 10 minutes of the DVD menu before we finally got to watch a much better movie about paranoia and cover-ups. No explanation was ever given to why a popular movie theater in Chicago was showing Four Blood Moons. Now, wait a second.
Wait a second.
Did I read this wrong?
No.
Are they in Evanston? They're from Evanston?
No, they went to Evanston. What's going on?
I think she's just said Chicago.
I guess it's the Chicagoland area.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Maybe
okay.
Evanston okay. is okay. one of yeah, the... Yeah, one of the
yeah, by totally. The way...
Yeah.
I've seen Four Blood Moons.
What?
Shut up. Just shut the fuck
just
up.
Just casual.
My hat just flew off my head.
Yeah, man. It was on Netflix. I watch all that shit. Any conspiracy theory nonsense stuff.
I tried to also, but I just missed this one.
Is this a Stay Tuned? I want to do a crazy religious documentary. So
no, it's kind of boring. It's just kind of dull. I mean, like, you want it to happen. Like, it kind of just... Oh, actually, wait, no, there's a lot of weird reenactments in that movie, if I'm not mistaken,
that are really
bad. Like, I kind of just didn't get it. Maybe I was a little bit off my wagon.
Yeah, you didn't know what the Blood Moon was, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it was just not super coherent, but it was a pretty damn good movie.
Oh, right. So, yeah, no explanation was given as to why a popular movie theater in Chicago was showing Four Blood Moons in the first place. Thanks again for the great show, Morgan.
Thank you, Morgan.
Wow, that sounds like a bad night out.
Yeah, that sucks.
Speaking of, Dark Knight Rises in Pittsburgh.
There you go.
Dear WHM. Oh, no, this is a long one. Sorry. I saw you put out the call for mailbag stories, and since I love your podcast, always wanted to hear one of my stories in the air, I decided to send one in. This is the story of the worst going experience of my life so far. I was going to see The Dark Knight Rises on opening night. Good for you.
Way to brag about it. Jeez.
The theater is packed to begin with, but there's an extra twist. The movie was filmed extensively in Pittsburgh, which is where I live. The dramatic stadium explosion, that's Heinz Field. Every major landmark was something in Pittsburgh, and I was excited to see our city on the big screen. That's always a nice little treat.
Oh, sure.
When you see New York, you're like, oh, wow.
Well, yeah, you know, I think we're a bit spoiled by it here
New York. What are you talking about? There's not many movies shot in New York.
Yeah, just watch a couple, though. You'll find them.
Well, maybe.
Every now and again.
Yeah, we'll see.
Unfortunately, there was an extremely loud, extremely drunk... Isn't that John Safran Foer book? No, that's extremely loud and incredibly close. Sorry. Extremely loud and extremely drunk group of what we call in Pittsburgh yinsers.
All right.
Hold. Is this some type of derogatory term?
I'm pretty sure. I don't know if I should be saying yinsers.
I don't think you should be saying that.
You fucking yinzer.
Whoa.
That sounds
well,
all right.
Let's get through it here. Yinzers are the worst stereotypes of Pittsburgh. Fat, loud, drunk, Thank God it doesn't say anything about race, so I'm going to continue.
I was going to say, thank God it doesn't say anything about podcast hosts.
Yeah, because I'm kind of offended because I'm fat, loud, and drunk right now.
Yeah,
I'm a fat guy, too. This is not me. I am a fat guy, too, but this is the letter writer saying I'm a fat guy, too. Okay. And I get drunk a lot.
Still, wait, this other guy. Yeah, wait. Is that I'm having a problem separating realities. Are you talking about you or this? Is this the email?
This is the email. Okay. We are both people who are fat and like to get drunk, but I never take that to the theater again. This is the guy, not me.
Wait, you take that into the theater?
Steve definitely takes it into the theater.
I'll take it outside. I'll take it inside. I'll take it wherever you want it. I should have known we were in for trouble when one of the guys showed up in the theater in a Steelers jersey and another was waving a terrible towel around.
Oh, come on. Isn't that like one in five people in Pittsburgh?
But it's June at this point,
Like, yeah, that's embarrassing. God.
The Steelers are out of it at this point.
Well, it's one of those people that's really paying attention to training camp.
Oh, yeah, if you don't know, the terrible towel is a towel. The Steelers fan waves around his games. That's it. My friends and I grabbed our seats. Already you should probably have left. And sat down.
Dude,
and
you see, you catch wind of a yinzer in your theater. You got to get the fuck out of there.
And as the theater quickly filled up, around the time of the first trailer, the yinzers came in to the theater. There's a loud pack and yelled out, "Hey, Jimmy, where you want to sit at?" And the six guys plopped down a few rows in front of us. They proceeded to chow down an enormous amount of food.
Nice.
They had somehow snuck in burgers and fries from McDonald's, while another guy had a Ziploc bag filled with jerky.
Dude, okay. Fucking hot food in the theater.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's, you know, jerky bullshit. Always smells like ass. If you are like,
jerky's always a good treat.
It is, but it smells like your grandma's dead nutsack.
Well, for one, I like chewing on my grandma's dead nutsack.
Fucking Sadak family history.
That's right. On top of that, they still had giant bags of popcorn, huge sodas, and some of the theater's hot dogs.
Oh, man, movie theater hot dogs, that's desperate.
They ate through the credits, and I felt relieved. At least these guys weren't talking during the movie. That's fair.
Because the food is going in their mouths.
Then the movie actually started. I don't think these guys had ever seen the Christopher Nolan movies, any Batman movies, or any movies at all. They were confused by everything. During the opening scene with the plane, one guy from the group yelled out, "Holy fucking shit!" a couple of times. When Joseph Gordon-Levitt showed up, another guy yelled out, "Third rock from the sun, baby! Yeah!" Well,
so that dude's at least familiar with mediocre 90s sitcoms.
Anytime a Pittsburgh landmark showed up, even an alleyway, they would yell out the name of it.
Oh, man.
You're in Pittsburgh, you fucking idiots!
We all know what that bridge is,
that
you asshole!
Sucks.
At one point, the Batmobile cuts down a side street. A guy yelled out, "Strawberry Way, motherfuckers!"
Oh, God.
Get some good fucking pizza down there.
Oh, good to know for when we go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I really doubt there's good pizza down there.
Yeah, exactly. But the big moment happened during the stadium scene. All six guys stood up and started shaking and shimmying.
Shimmying?
I told you before that these were big guys, and one had to weigh at least 250 pounds. It didn't sound so big to me. The guy.
It sounds like you got a bunch of small guys in Pittsburgh.
All little petite little lambs there. Oh, was she a great big fat Steelers fan?
The guy in the Steelers jersey started chanting, "Here we go, Steelers, here we go."
Oh, my God. And then this person should have been shot in the head.
And another guy started waving the terrible towel. Well, that's what he brought it for, to be fair.
Wait,
that
thing is to be waved. Listen, you're not going to bring a terrible towel to the movies and not fucking wave it.
And that was this before or after he wiped his ass with it from all his fucking theater hot dog McDonald's shits. His farts. His farts that became shits.
This is all happening in the theater.
Yes.
Yeah, this is disgusting.
This is just Pittsburgh, baby. Yeah.
When the stadium collapsed, they all started booing, and one guy left the theater and didn't return.
Yeah, he waited in the car.
Every time Bane showed up after that, they would loudly boo and yell things like, "Fuck you," and "Cleveland sucks."
Did they think it was Drew Carey?
Oh, you think Cleveland is your ally? I was born in it.
I don't get it. Why is Cleveland sucks being screamed at Bane?
I love Cleveland.
Oh, they should have the RNC there. LeBron James.
At the end of the movie, I heard them discussing between themselves, and I never forget what I heard. So Batman's a ghost now?
Oh.
No, idiot. It's symbolic. Is Catwoman a ghost? Who the fuck is Catwoman?
Oh, my Lord.
I had to go see the movie again a few days later. Damn right. Since I missed so much of the plot between their yelling, I've also never gone to see a movie on opening night again since, just to avoid scenarios like that. And you're right to.
Yep.
You have to. We've got to give up the opening day, opening night thing. I'm sorry. If you really want
to
see the movie, you really want to enjoy a movie, you got to stay
clear
of
it. Here's the thing. Whenever you want to see a movie on opening night, just think of the Velvet Underground. Sunday morning.
Exactly. That's the perfect time.
Dude, just rise a little early, man. Go on a beautiful Sunday morning.
Get
the
that
movies.
10 a.m., 11 a.m. show.
Totally.
That's what you want. Or even like an afternoon show is fine. I mean, like it quiets down quite a bit. I like to wait in a full calendar week these days, honestly.
Oh, sure. We're getting older, man.
Saturday afternoon show, the week after.
Dude, you won't see hide nor hair of a terrible towel.
I just want to relax. I want to enjoy the movie. Yes. I don't care about who I'm seeing it with. I'm usually bringing anyone I want to see it with me. And then I'm leaving with that person.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's keep going.
Thanks for the awesome podcast. By the way, when are we getting more Blame It on Outer Space? That's what the gentleman asked.
All right. Well, you should tweet at Ben Wooster and just start riding him real hard about it.
Blaming it on the old Wooster.
He's got a few silent letters. How do you spell that?
It's BenWoorCester.
That's right. So at Ben Wooster, you can ride him hard for... You know, all sorts of things, really.
You know what? Blame a lot of things on him.
Outer space, Rio.
9/11.
No.
He was in the area.
He was. A last letter coming up.
All right, here we go.
Horror and the off-screen. Wait.
Jesus Christ.
You just failed.
You know what? It's a mailbag, guys. It doesn't matter. Horror on and off screen.
That's the words.
Yeah.
Hey, gang. I discovered the podcast about a year ago, and I've loved you guys ever since. Well, I love you too, baby. As you provide a constant stream of great and hilarious content that helps me get through the stressful times in life.
That's nice.
My story takes place actually just a few months ago on a Friday in late June. My brother, who is a massive horror movie fan, asked me if I wanted to go with him to see a showing of The Conjuring 2 later on in the day.
Now, did he like horror movies a lot, or was he massive?
Was he a great big horror fan? It's a massive horror movie. I'll tell you what. I just watched The Conjuring 2 a couple nights ago. Good movie.
I got to see it.
Solid sequel, man. Not as good as the original. It's long as balls, but man, it was fucking scaring the tits right off.
I like that first one.
I do too.
I'd total recommend.
Here's a question. Are there good sweaters in that movie? A
lot of great sweaters.
Okay. Then I'm in. I'm totally in.
A lot of great 1970s sweaters.
That's the thing, man. I want my horror married with my sweater porn.
Totally.
Which is also why I like those like early Friday the 13th.
Oh, sure. A lot of great sweaters around the campfire.
Summertime sweaters.
And while we're talking about horror movies really quickly, I want to say.
While we're talking about sweaters.
I went to the theater this past weekend. I saw that Don't Breathe that everybody's been flapping their gums about.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible. Terrible movie. I don't know what the fuck everybody's talking about.
Oh, is that because that Stephen Lang's an awful actor?
That's part of it.
And is this is from the director who did the Evil Dead remake.
Yeah.
And everyone was advertising this like it was a Sam Raimi movie or something.
Correct.
Yeah, I got fooled. I was like, oh, wow, Sam Raimi's.
That's what I thought. I was like, right. I fucking don't drag. Well, Drag Me to Hell was kind of fun. I would like to go see another Sam Raimi horror movie. It's what?
Yeah, no, this movie is a fucking flaming garbage fire set on train tracks and rolled into a fucking gasoline factory.
Is it just that Kane movie? It looks a lot like that Kane movie.
Oh, See No Evil?
Yeah.
No, it's like a home invasion movie where, like, the tables are turned on the burglars. Oh. And, man, am I fucking tapping my foot waiting for the lights
to
come
up. So is
it
like Kevin McAllister gets, like, old and grizzled and loses his eyesight in yet another prank? And
yes.
Then, like,
are there paint buckets?
Paint
cans.
No paint cans. I just hated that movie.
I'm going to kill you, Joe Pesci. Steven Lang impression.
All right.
Okay, so he's going to go see The Conjuring 2 later on in the day.
Correct.
And although I had already caught a showing of The Neon Demon earlier that day, I thought, why not? Another trip to the movies never hurt anyone.
Ooh, gobbling up all sorts of movies day.
A bunch of movies today.
Oh, what a big movie buff.
I'm just super jealous.
No, yeah, I love it. I love a double header.
Get the double header going.
Oh, totally. Man.
Hours later, we finally headed off, and I was the only one who ended up driving us there. Wait. I read that wrong.
Okay, I was going to say, what do you have, a driver's ed car? Two steering wheels. You said we're both going to drive.
Okay. All right. It's late in the night, Stephen.
All right. I'm just having a little fun with you. All right.
Hours,
come on.
Hours later, we finally headed off, and I was the one who ended up driving us there, despite it being his plan to go. Not really sure how that works. Like, all right, damn, don't complain about your travel plans.
I mean, who gives a shit? What did it take, 10 minutes to drive to the theater? What do you want?
Hey, I'm trying to do a podcast here, kid. Come on.
It's not the purpose of this mailbag to take out petty grievances about travel plans.
Yeah, fucking argue with your brother off the air, okay? Come on.
You know what? You know what? I'm going to take a side here. Fuck that guy. Fuck your brother. Massive horror movie fan, my ass. As we pulled up to the theater, we noticed the parking lot was fairly full. I mean, what were we expecting on a Friday night? So we headed towards the back of the lot to find an easy spot. I parked next to a minivan, and we both started to get out. But as I got out, I noticed something weird in the minivan next to me. It looked like a woman was slouched over the passenger seat with her back towards the front windshield. I saw her moving up and down quite a bit in the seat, but I quickly noticed a baby car in the back seat, so I assumed it was, you know,
a baby car seat. What is it, a baby car? I thought it was a baby car in the back.
Listeners at home, both of these guys had to take their reads 10 times, and that's when Crystal clearly edited out. You don't even know what's going
on here. And the smear campaign is going crazy tonight.
Inside jobbing me.
Sorry, I'm swift boating you.
All right, so they saw the baby car. So I assumed she was helping her baby or whatever parents do.
Right.
As I walked over to my brother, he looked over to the car and gave me kind of a shocked look. And at first, I didn't know what he was getting at. But as we began to walk away from our car, I started to sort of put two and two together, and I anxiously asked, was there a man under that lady in the car next to us? And without hesitation, he gave me a big fat yes. I couldn't believe it.
Massive horror fan, big fat yes.
I couldn't believe it. They were doing the dirty deed.
Oh,
in
man.
Public.
That's what you
in
get.
A public parking lot.
That's what you get for parking at the back of the lot, man. They had every right to be there.
Honestly, you got a gift. You got to see life creation. Because what do you think that baby car seat's for, man? It's fucking flying right out of there. Have you ever? When you do it, you get a baby. That's
Wait, they bought the car seat first and then got to fucking?
Yeah.
All right.
They're good Christian people.
Right.
So after that revelation, I started to feel extremely gross having witnessed these sexual deviants. Let's take a step back from the judgment zone.
We've all fucked in a car.
Look, dude, you're the one seeing two movies in one day.
Do you know how
right?
Yeah.
So
exactly. And do you know how little parents can fuck these days?
That's true.
I mean, they can't just get fucking in their own house anymore. It's like a jail zone.
How do little parents fuck?
Well, they get a baby car. Parents get inside.
Watch one of those fucking A&E reality shows. They'll tell you how little parents fuck.
Did I really say little parents? I'm getting...
No, you said little parents and I was being an asshole.
I'm just getting goofy. All right, so we're... okay. And in a quick panic, I went to reach for my phone in my back pocket to hope of alleviate the amazing amount of discomfort I was feeling. Hey, lighten up.
Yeah, but low, live with it.
Yeah, I mean, come on. This is a beautiful act of lovemaking, man. But lo and behold, there was nothing in my pocket. My phone was still hooked up in the car because we had decided to play music from it on the way there. I instinctively turned around to go get it, but stopped immediately in my tracks when I saw the minivan next to my car profusely bouncing up and down due to their display of love. Fast walking as quickly as I could, I told my brother, my phone's fine, the car's locked anyway, and we headed for the movies. And to briefly summarize our experience inside the theater, my brother shushed. My brother shushed 2 12-year-old boys behind us about 5 times. That is a massive horror fan. A big family walked in 30 minutes in the movie.
Are these fat people too?
Or is there like 50 of them? Walked in 30 minutes into the movie with 2 kids who could have been no older than 2 years old.
Yikes.
Okay, now that's a problem. I'll give you that one. And one of those kids made a bird-like screeching noise every 4 minutes for the entire second half of the movie.
This movie, by the way, is 2 hours and 15 minutes that's long. That's a long second half.
That's a lot of bird screeching.
Squaw! Caw! Caw!
Still, despite all the obvious issues I had with my outing, I was thankfully still able to enjoy the movie. It's just, as a 17-year-old boy, I never would have thought that the most disturbing thing I saw all day was neither in The Neon Demon or The Conjuring 2. Thanks for the show, gang. Keep up the good work, Tanner.
Well, that was a big learning day for Tanner.
Well, you gotta give up some of your hang-ups, Tanner. That's not disturbing.
Well, here's a WHM life lesson. It's the old adage: if this van's a rocket, don't come a knocking.
That's right. And maybe you should. Well, you know what? One day you might be interested in sex in a public car.
Yeah. Someday, Tanner, you're going to find yourself in that car.
And I'm going to say, wear protection.
Yeah, wrap it up.
You're going to find yourself driving a baby car on the way home.
That's WHM Mailbag for the month of September. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out whmpodcast.com. Until next month, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sidney.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.